Wow. Has this show gone by fast, or has it gone by fast? Holy Toledo. And why do we say holy Toledo? Where did that expression even originate? I suppose I could look it up online, but probably one of those things that nobody knows exactly why, but they just use it. Anyway, it's 11 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly. And on yesterday's show, it was really, really, really good. We started off, we had my first wife, Cassandra Joan Butler, on, the astrologer, and a lot of great calls, a lot of great questions from people, and I will aggravate her. I don't believe in astrology, but a lot of you do believe in astrology, and since I don't do the show based only on what I happen to like, I try to please everybody. I must try to please the world around me. Don Altobello, Godfather 3. Thank you. So I guess it's movie quote day every day here on the Bowerly program. What can I say? I watch a movie, I watch it again, I watch it again, try to memorize the scripts for reasons I have no idea. And I don't know why I can do it with movie scripts and with plays and stuff, but I could never do it with mathematical formulas. It's unless it was statistics. Now, that's just plain weird, but I never claimed to be normal. But anyway, one of the things that we got into, if you have a chance, you can listen to it, because frankly, it was probably some of the most real radio you will ever hear. It was totally genuine and non-contrived, anything like that. It was like reality radio, but it wasn't planned reality radio. My ex-wife and I talked about circumstances that took place during our very bitter divorce. And as I have said previously, and as I also said today, you know, when we talk about it, it's not about us. Okay, what it is, it's almost like a public service announcement. And the point of it is that even though two people can go through a divorce that really sucks, that is very acrimonious and angry and filled with bitterness and et cetera, it is possible if two people are adults. Of course, my adulthood is always somewhat dubious, but if we, the two of us, if we could put that past us in terms of how nasty it was and emerge as really good friends, then you can too. And we point that out usually every time we do a show together, and I point it out even when we're not doing a show together, because so much pain and torment that we inflict on each other during a divorce situation, it's all so unnecessary. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. So anyway, I get a lot of feedback on that particular segment yesterday. I think it was from 4 until about 4:30. But if you listen to it, I think you're going to understand why I mentioned it again, because it was really from the heart stuff. And you know, sometimes it's not a good idea to air one's dirty laundry in public. But on the other hand, I tend to be a genuine person. My ex-wife tends to be a genuine person. And even if a point we are trying to make comes at expense to ourselves and might not portray us in a very good light, there's still important points to be made that may benefit you. So I really, you know, in that sense, I don't care if we say things when my ex-wife and I are on the air, if we say things that don't make us look like Ozzie and Harriet, because I always think that somewhere out there, you know somebody going through a horrible divorce. You know somebody who is in the same place we were back in the 1990s. And if you know anybody like that, I would encourage them to listen to what we did between like 4:08 and 4:25 yesterday afternoon. And if it helps just one person, I know I don't much care for that expression, but if it helps just one person or one couple and it saves a situation from turning violently domestic, then I think it's absolutely worth it, because nobody ever said that life was always going to be a bowl of peaches, because it's not. And certainly when you talk about divorce, everybody's got a divorce story. Everybody's got a divorce horror story. Absolutely. But I hope, and I hope that I'm not overblowing things or trying to make things seem more important than they really are, but I don't think I am. I think that in the case of my ex-wife and I discussing some really personal stuff, in a genuine way and not sugarcoating anything, that it might very well be of tremendous value to some people, or maybe some people you know. And if that is the case, you know what? I'm all for it. I'm absolutely all for it, because part of this business is helping people, whether it is a blizzard situation or whether it is something like a divorce and getting through a horrible divorce, and not just getting through it, but then emerging on the other side as very good friends. We can't be the only people that have ever done that. Okay, there must be more people than just Sandy and Tommy, okay? And I hope there are. And I hope that in some way, shape, or form that we are of some help when we get into that stuff. And yesterday in particular, it was, I'm not going to lie to you, because I don't do that, but it was about as intense and personal as a discussion is going to be on the radio between two people who used to be married who are now friends. And there were no punches pulled whatsoever. And there shouldn't be any punches pulled whatsoever, okay? Because I did some real scumbag things, and I own what I did. And the concept of forgiveness is such an important one. And I just urge, without, again, without trying to self-aggrandize, because that's not really cool, and I'm pretty sure that's not why you tune in to listen. I mean, yeah, to do this for a living, you have to be somewhat narcissistic, or at least somewhat extroverted, I suppose, in that respect. But it really isn't and wasn't about the two of us. It was more about you and people you might know, and maybe helping people through it. And she, my ex, is a social worker with that Ivy League degree, so she's got a greater insight into things than do I. But as in some respect, that segment of the show was painful. It was also cathartic. And I also believe that it might have helped some people listening. And again, I hope it doesn't. I hope what I'm saying is not coming off as being self-aggrandizing, because that's not really what I'm all about, believe it or not, despite what the internet might say. I just hope it was helpful to you. That's a long way of saying I hope it was helpful. And if you didn't hear it, you can go back to WBEN.com and the audio archive and check out what we did between like 10 minutes after 4 and about 25 minutes after 4. My ex-wife and I have talked about that today, and we both agreed it was pretty powerful. And even though it might have been personally painful for the both of us to revisit those things, it may very well have helped some other people. And if it did, you know, Well done us. It's 21 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, so far today, and I'm willing to entertain more calls on this, and if not, I've got a whole bunch of other things that we can get into, but yesterday I ended the show by falling asleep during the 5:30 news. Okay, hey, if you want to hear something funny, by the way, you can go back and listen to the audio archive of today's 2 o'clock hour where Jimmy Love Stelianu and Tanner Saunders behind the glass told you the story of your humble host literally falling asleep heading into the news break at 5:30. Now, there are reasons for this. Believe me, it's not like I was out partying or anything like that. But in life, you sometimes get situations thrown at you, which might throw your sleep schedule off a little bit. And that's kind of what happened yesterday. But all is clearly well today. But we've been talking about marriage and marriage proposals. And I will repeat the questions following the news at 5:30 on WBEN. And I'm also going to add some new questions. And if those new questions take off and become a real winning topic, I have no problem bringing a real winning topic back again on Friday, which already is tomorrow. By the way, one of the nice things about your children getting older is, well, I suppose we should talk about Santa Claus for a moment. But as your children become older, it becomes easier and easier to take on the role of Santa Claus because the days of the Pokemon cards and your kids needing to find exactly the right card, those days are over. And what kids really want today is cash, cold, hard cash. And, of course, a cell phone and virtual reality. All right, we will get into the questions coming up after the news at 5:30. We'll throw out some new ones here on WBEN. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Hey, Tanner, you still there? You still with us on the other side of the glass there?
Indeed.
Can't see you through the reflection. So now you're not going to be able to do anything about this today, but just understand, I promise I am not going to fall asleep heading into this break. Is that a deal?
All right. I'll hold my end up of the bargain. I'm just counting on you now.
Okay. Funniest thing is, though, in all seriousness, folks, Tanner, when I was getting ready to fly to Jamaica, Tanner actually woke up at 4 a.m. to call me to give me a wake-up call, even though I've got about a zillion alarm clocks set up. That's the kind of guy Tanner Saunders is. See, Tanner, you could probably put into Tim Wenger's personal assistant to Mr. Bowerly and maybe get some more money out of the company. Just an idea. Or do I pay you out of my own pocket?
I won't hold my breath on that, but we might be able to arrange something.
All right, Tanner. I love this kid. I'm sorry, this young man, Tanner Saunders. All right, 28 minutes after 5. Drive safely out there because there's a lot of bad drivers out there, none of whom listen to this show. All of you are good drivers. It's the people who listen to the other stations. They're the ones who are slowing you up. Just thought you should know that as a public service announcement from News Radio 930 WBEN. So we'll have some fun and some serious coming up after 5:30 on News Radio 930 WBEN. It's always such a pleasure to be with you. And again, thank you for making this radio station and this program a part of your daily existence. It is truly appreciated, seriously, by all of us here at News Radio 930 WBEN, even Tanner, who manages to stay awake all 4 hours of the program. All right, loves, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, would anybody be terribly upset if we if we got into some other things here in the time that we have remaining on the program. I don't think so, but I have greatly enjoyed our conversations about the whole marriage thing and engagement thing and all the related topics into which we have delved. And delved, by the way, is just an old-fashioned way of saying dig. In case you didn't know, it's always interesting to find out the origins of words and how they've evolved over the years. I mean, sometimes people will say, well, let's delve into something, and they don't really know that delve actually means dig into. But anyway, there's a story that has been brought to our attention, and it involves the, dare I say, increasingly controversial head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott. Now, we don't do the X's and O's here on this radio station. Before we get into that, though, and I think there's a tie-in here in a very loose way that I want to establish before we get into the whole Sean McDermott thing. As you know, Norman Lear has died, lived to be 101 years old. And Norman Lear obviously was a bit of an iconoclast in terms of television programming of the era in which he was prominent. And one of the shows for which he was best known featured good old Archie Bunker and his wife, the Dingbat. And they were actually, in real life, they were good friends, Carol O'Connor and Gene Stapleton. And a lot of people make a big deal out of the fact, well, Gene Stapleton didn't go to Carol O'Connor's funeral. Yeah, because she had an acting gig and she had a contract that she had to honor. And sometimes, as much as you want to do something, you can't do something because you're so tied up. But a couple of quick things I want to point out. Things that programs and entertainment that were big when they were big, but could never be done again. And in light of the death of Norman Lear, I want, for those who, have you guys ever seen, and see, I feel stupid saying this, but you have to understand that as you get older, you have to understand that there are people who are younger who did not have the same experiences as you. And there was actually a time, and Tim Wenger will laugh at this because he is from the same era, but there was a time in America where we all watched basically the same television shows. And we didn't call it that back then, but it was appointment television. Shows like All in the Family, I mentioned earlier, and its very catchy theme song. And I want to, this is going to bring back memories for some of you, and for some of you, it's going to be brand new. I think it's either on Amazon or I think it's on Amazon. It could be on Netflix. You can watch it, I think, with commercials sprinkled in on that. Was it Free TV or something? But All in the Family was a major television hit, and it got away with things that you could not get away with today without being banned from social media and without facing an immediate backlash of public opinion. And let's just hear, Tanner, the theme song, if we can, from All in the Family, shall we?
Boy, the way Glenn Miller plays.
A little more volume, if we can.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew where you were then.
Girls were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herman Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare states.
Everybody pulled his weight. Gee, our old LaSalle ran great. Those were the days.
So, yeah, that was this theme song from All in the Family. And what's interesting, if you pay attention to the beginning of the show, they re-recorded that opening on at least two and possibly three or more occasions. And the reason is there's a line that you just heard, gee, our old LaSalle ran great. And when the show aired in the 1970s, a lot of people did not know what those lyrics were. Some people heard things about salary, like, gee, our old salaries were great, things along those lines. So they re-recorded it so you can very clearly hear Archie and Edith singing about an automobile they clearly had a thing for, the LaSalle, which, by the way, was a great automobile in its day. So you can very clearly in that intro hear, gee, our old LaSalle ran great. And they really hyper-enunciated it. But All in the Family, with all of its racial, sexual, ethnic overtones and undertones, that program could never air today. It could never get past the pilot stage, for that matter. And let me tell you another example. This was not Norman Lear, but there was a show called Hogan's Heroes, and it kind of entered American popular culture, and it was basically a sitcom about a Nazi prison camp. Now, as we enter Hanukkah, the very idea that I just said the words, it was a sitcom about a Nazi prisoner of war camp, there's nothing funny about a Nazi prisoner of war camp. Yet Hogan's Heroes managed, despite being savaged by critics, it managed to have a pretty good run. And it also, seriously, it did. And it also kind of entered, as I said, American cultural icon history, despite the fact that many of the networks turned it down. They got very lucky in even having that show produced, because while today in 2023, I know nothing, I see nothing, kind of entered our lexicon of America. Back then it was kind of new, and it's amazing to me how All in the Family got made. It's amazing, maybe to you as well, how Hogan's Heroes got made. And if you really want an interesting insight, you can look up what happened to Bob Crane, who played Hogan. But there was also, in the same general era, a movie by Mel Brooks. And the movie was called Blazing Saddles. And the title of the movie, in case you don't know, Mel Brooks explained it at one point. The old cowboy movies, the John Ford, John Wayne, those kinds of movies, you would always see the cowboys sitting around a campfire eating beans. But there was never any reference in the old-time movies to the digestive side effects of eating a lot of beans, which I'm sure you are well aware of as a human being. Beans, beans, the magical fruit. I'm pretty sure you know the rest of it. But the Blazing Saddles movie from Mel Brooks was another piece of Americana. It's an American film classic, and yet today it could not be made. Anybody remember the theme from Blazing Saddles? Very dramatic buildup here. And again, the title was a reference to flatulence. So anyway, as we fade the music down there, a movie today with that kind of a theme song at the beginning and the racial references that were made in All in the Family, you simply couldn't do it today. The whole, the sheriff's, it never could be done today, ever. And yet, today, most people would consider it to be a Mel Brooks masterpiece. So things and times change. But kind of like I'm looking at the clock, I'm running out of time, and I'm trying to make a valid point here. And I, again, the show sometimes just goes so fast, I can't get to everything I want to cover, and doesn't mean I want to do 5 or 6 hours, much as I love you. But this is also the anniversary of the attack by the Japanese Empire on our naval base at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, in which roughly 3,000 Americans lost their lives, and not just our servicemen, but civilians on the ground, many of whom were killed by Japanese fire, and even more still were killed by ordnance that was being shot into the sky to try to take the Japanese torpedo bombers and dive bombers and Zero fighter planes out of action. And unfortunately, this date back in 1941, a few rounds hit civilian automobiles, including a very tragic case where an entire family was killed on a Sunday morning in Hawaii, driving around in an automobile in Honolulu. And unfortunately, wrong place, wrong time, 5 people ended up dead. And that, of course, was the beginning of the American active involvement in World War II, as FDR, Franklin D. Roosevelt, declared war on the Empire of Japan, and shortly thereafter, as a matter of honor, oh yeah, because he was a real honorable guy, Adolf Hitler declared war on the United States, showing an extreme amount of hubris. And at that very moment, if there was any doubt that the Germans were not going to win the Second World War, those doubts vanished. Those doubts actually were exacerbated, because declare war on the United States as a nation like Nazi Germany, very short on raw materials, very short on manpower and replacement parts and oil, it was all over, thank God, for the Nazis at that point. Now, speaking of attacks on America, Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and I wish I had more time to get into this, Sean McDermott allegedly once used the 9/11 hijackers as a motivator for the Buffalo Bills. Now, this has been a very difficult season for Sean McDermott, and especially when you've got a team that was supposed to be a Super Bowl contender, and that team is now 500, and be very surprised if it actually makes the playoffs. Do we have, Tanner, the audio of Sean McDermott basically apologizing for using 9/11 as an inspirational speech for the Buffalo Bills?
My intent in the meeting that day was to discuss the importance of communication and being on the same page with the team. I regretted mentioning 9/11 in my message that day, and I immediately apologized to the team. Not only was 9/11 a horrific event in our country's history, but a day that I lost a good family friend.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott, who is now under fire for basically what sounded like praising the 9/11 hijackers for their ability to get on the same page and pull off a very sophisticated operation, which also resulted in the deaths of 3,000 Americans and then more after that following the wars in the Middle East. Now, I don't think this story is going to go anywhere by tomorrow, and we'll have a chance to spend some more time getting into it. But one of the things I'd like you to think about overnight is Sean McDermott getting a raw deal being criticized when he immediately apologized to the team? And one of the lessons here is to use 9/11 as what might be construed as inspiration for a football team, even years ago, is not a good idea. And comparing anybody but the Nazis to the Nazis is also a bad idea. And I suspect that David Bellavia is going to have a few things to say about that tomorrow during his program from 10 until 2. And I suspect I may also have some things to say about that tomorrow between 2 and 6. But there are quite a few people in the national media, I'm looking at, Deadspin, who basically are saying Sean McDermott might as well start packing his stuff now and getting ready to get out of Buffalo. I don't know that I agree with that, because there doesn't seem to be any absence of confidence in the Buffalo Bills from the Buffalo Bills organization toward head coach Sean McDermott. But it's going to have to wait, I'm afraid, until tomorrow. Because, yes, these things can tie together in a weird way. It is Bowerly for the Buffalo Dental Group. And, you know, people will ask, hey, what is that term minimally invasive dentistry? What does that even mean? Well, it's actually kind of simple. It is a practice philosophy of the Buffalo Dental Group. It's not a technique. The goal is to preserve as many of your natural teeth as possible. For example, if the Buffalo Dental Group doesn't have to put crowns on teeth, they're not going to do it. They want to preserve your natural teeth. And they use the conservative approach of an onlay, for example, instead of putting a crown on a tooth. The doctors of dentistry, Vossler and Kolber, they are highly trained at preserving as much of your individual tooth and as many of your collective teeth as possible. So instead of grinding the teeth down at the Buffalo Dental Group, their goal is to preserve the tooth with bonding instead of grinding the tooth down. This adhesive dentistry allows the doctors of dentistry of the Buffalo Dental Group to maintain your natural tooth. And it is an increasingly popular practice, and the Buffalo Dental Group has it. They do it in such a way that you're going to be very, very happy as a patient of the Buffalo Dental Group. The Buffalo Dental Group has two locations, Main Street in Williamsville at Brompton, and also Englewood Avenue. That location is still the same. And they have one phone number, and it's very easily remembered. It's in the 716. All right, you got that, in the 716. And it's 634-1234. 634-1234 for the Buffalo Dental Group. 634-1234, the Buffalo Dental Group. Stand by on News Radio 930 WBEN, because we'll have Buffalo's evening news, including more in the McDermott story coming up for you on that. Buffalo's evening news, 6 until 7. And then tomorrow, of course, we've got you covered all day long on News Radio 930 WBEN.